Welcome to another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast. I'm your host, Paul Dunay, publisher of the blog, and this week I'm talking with Adam Lavelle, Chief Strategy Officer of iCrossing. Welcome to the podcast, Adam.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Great. So iCrossing is a digital media agency that I'm familiar with from the search space and is now branching off into more Web 2.0 social media, which is why I wanted to do this podcast. So, Adam, maybe we want to start with what's the latest in search and where are we kind of going with search these days?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think it's not a surprise to anyone that search has become increasingly important as a medium in its own right and as a sort of a premier component of a company's digital strategy and how it engages in the digital space. We've seen all sorts of interesting things happening. Over a number of years, people have talked often about using offline to drive to web, either in TV or print or direct mail. And now we're seeing evidence of the importance of search in things like drive to search. The Pontiac ads that end with just Google Pontiac or the Special K commercials that say go to Yahoo and type Special K. So we're seeing search become an inherent part of people's behavior online. Something like 75 to 80% of the time we go online and begin a session in a browser, we start with search. So search is clearly becoming a critical venue or tactic through which we get to all of the content that we consume online. So it's clearly an important part of the overall mix.
Right. That's a very interesting point of view. I mean, I've certainly noticed those ads as well. So yep. What do you think search's role is going to be in Web 2.0? I mean, if it's starting to show up in our advertising, you know, how is that going to foster maybe a sense of community? I mean, where does it go from there?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that people have started to say is that Google isn't so much a search engine as it is a reputation management system. I was watching an episode of 60 Minutes, and Leslie Stahl was interviewing the families who are the parents of the Duke students who'd been charged in a sexual harassment case. And what was interesting was Leslie asked one of the parents, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think this has damaged your child's reputation? And he said, of course it has. Any business that ever wants to potentially hire my son or any girl who potentially wants to date my son, the first thing they're going to do is Google him. And it's impossible for us to be able to repair the reputation, the damage to his reputation that's been done and that you can easily find if you go looking for my son. So we're clearly seeing that as we move forward, search functions as a component of how one's reputation is managed, how corporations' reputations are managed. There's also something happening technically that is going to be quite interesting moving forward. And when you mention Web 2.0, most of what people mean when they talk about Web 2.0 are richer Internet applications or Internet experiences using technologies like Ajax and Flash and Flex. And so in that world, when you enter a website, instead of it feeling like a flat published page, it feels like a richer experience. As sites continue to move that direction, it's going to change the way that search engines get you to content. And I think that's something that's going to continue to become more complicated and something we're going to continue to need to help our clients figure out how to harness.
That's fascinating. A fascinating example, especially with the reputational aspect to it.
Yeah.
So what is your personal view of social media and where are we going in that sense?
You know, the easy thing would be to talk about social media almost like saying it's desktop publishing on steroids. If you remember back in the days when desktop publishing software really came to the fore and everyone was able to pick up a printer for a few hundred dollars, all of a sudden everyone became their own media company and their own printing company and was able to put out all sorts of things. Social media, we've sort of seen that kind of happen again in the form that we have tons and tons of devices now to go out and capture all sorts of content, from video phones and very cheap camcorders to MIDI devices we can plug into our computers and GarageBand software that we can use on a Mac. So we've got amazing devices to capture content. We've got really powerful software to manipulate that content and create really interesting entertainment. And then we have more ways to distribute that content than ever before, from all of the photo sites and Flickr's and to posting things on blogs, discussion groups, forums, all sorts of sharing sites. So really the entire infrastructure is in place to create content, capture content, create content, distribute content. But what makes it social is adding into that access to networks of people. Creating content is one thing and being able to distribute it is fine, but it's having really easy access to a network. And we have that now through things like MySpace Friends, through IM Buddy Lists, through really easy email capability to have, you know, large numbers of people that we can email things to. And so when you add that into the mix, you now have really easy ability to create, really easy ability to share, and so now we've got sort of this explosion of content. I think, you know, the important thing for brands to think about is how much control or how much influence they can have over that. Clearly, we're seeing all sorts of instances where the consumer is co-opting the brand and making with it what he or she wants. I think the real challenge in this year and in the coming years for brands is to figure out how to embrace that and how to make it a part of their overall marketing plan. And I think that's, we're seeing all sorts of interesting examples of that out in the market today.
Right. So as a marketer, you know, what would your advice be on how to start adopting or adapting some of these tools, these tactics, and where would you start first?
Sure. Well, I think you have to, you know, you have to look within at first, and I think ask yourself what kind of brand you are. If you're an incredibly conservative brand, you know, then social media may not be consistent with your DNA as a company. But I would argue for most brands, the idea that you would ignore it, that you would just stick your head in the sand and say it doesn't exist and I'm going to ignore all of the consumer-generated content out there about my brand, is very short-sighted. And so the question is, how do you monitor that? How do you pay attention to it? How do you assess all of that? And then how do you choose to respond or engage those consumers? The powerful opportunity really is to treat the social networks as a place to go out and have a really responsible dialogue with your consumers. It puts the burden on you as a company to either improve your product or provide a good product to begin with. If you're not willing to do more and to reach out and to engage those consumers and give them what they want, then you'll find yourself coming up short. I regularly hear clients say, we're not prepared to handle negative feedback, which of course makes me laugh, because if you're not prepared to handle negative feedback, that means you're not prepared to create a better product or to respond to those consumers. And running and hiding from them won't be a successful strategy. So definitely it's a question of how do you engage and how do you use that media to really benefit the business.
Nice. I love it. Hope is not a strategy. Well, Adam, thank you for joining me. I really appreciate your time. You've been listening to Adam Lavelle, Chief Strategy Officer for iCrossing. To learn more about iCrossing, please visit www.icrossing.com.